Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called Growing in the Seasons of Life. In these teachings, Pastor Rick shows you how to make the most of the seasons of life, no matter which one you're in. Now, in just a little while, we're going to tell you how you can take the complete audio for this series with you wherever you go. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called How to Reconcile a Relationship.
The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 18, it's up here on the screen, those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace. And it says they will reap, read it with me, a harvest of goodness. Now that's what I want to happen in your life. As your pastor, as somebody who loves you, I want your life to harvest a harvest of goodness. I want there to be the results of your life, not badness, not evil, not a wasted life, but that at the end of your life, they go, that man, that woman harvested a harvest of goodness in their life. But in order to harvest something, you got to plant it first. And the Bible says, peacemakers plant seeds of peace. Do you know that in the last 3,500 years on planet Earth, there have been only 286 years of peace between nations? Out of 3,500 years of recorded history, only 286 years of peace between nations. We live in a broken, divided, fragmented world that desperately needs to learn the skills of reconciliation, the skills of making peace. Now, when we look at the cause of conflict, you don't have to go very far in the Bible, and it tells us that there are two causes of all conflict, between you and your husband or your wife, between you and your boyfriend or your girlfriend, between you and your kids or your parents or your coworkers, between other people. All conflict boils down to two words. You might write these down: selfishness and sinfulness. Selfishness and sinfulness. Now, the Bible says we live on a broken planet because of sin. The Bible tells us all have sinned. That means me, it means you, it means the Pope, it means everybody. Nobody bats a thousand. Nobody's perfect. In fact, I've never met anybody who's claimed to be perfect. We don't measure up to our own standards, much less God's. And the Bible says all fall short. We all fall short of that level of perfection. All have sinned. The Bible says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The Bible says if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In other words, we have an amazing ability to lie to ourselves. You lie to yourself all the time, and the thing is, you believe it. You say things to yourself. We have an amazing ability to con ourselves. And because nobody's perfect, because we all sin, we all blow it, we all make mistakes, we're all fundamentally selfish. You don't think about me, you think about yourself. I don't think about you, I think about me. What's best for me? And because of that, we have conflict and we have division. The Amplified Version of James chapter 1 and 2, James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, tells us real clearly this. It's on the screen. What leads to strife and discord and feuds? And how do conflicts and quarrels and fighting originate among you? They arise from your own selfish and sinful desires. You might circle that. That have always been at war inside you. In other words, there's a war in you before there's a war in the world. You're jealous and you covet what others have. You burn with envy and anger, and you aren't able to obtain the gratification you seek. So you fight and you war. And you do not have, you don't have because you don't ask God. If you don't get anything else I say today, I want you to get this first point clearly. And it's this. Conflict often occurs between you and somebody else because you expect them to meet a need in your life that only God can meet. And when you expect other people to meet needs in your life, you expect your husband to meet certain needs in your life, or your wife to meet certain needs, or your girlfriend, your boyfriend, or your mom or dad, or somebody, a client, to meet needs in your life that only God can meet, you're going to get disappointed, you're going to get discouraged, you're going to get bitter. The Bible says it is when we have unmet needs in our heart, it is our own selfishness and sinfulness that causes us to get angry about it.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
How would you like to be able to take these great messages with you wherever you go? Well, Pastor Rick wants to make that happen for you. That's why he's asked us to offer you this 7-message audio series called Growing in the Seasons of Life. When you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send them to you on your choice of CD, USB flash drive, or by downloadable MP3. You'll get everything you hear on this broadcast, as well as the portions we just didn't have time for. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004, or visit PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. There's only 3 days left to get this great study tool, so don't wait.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Once again, here's Rick.
Now, there's this common myth that if I could just meet the right person, then all my needs would be met. Would any of the married couples like to give a testimony right now? There is nobody who can meet all your needs because they're imperfect. You're a sinner. They're a sinner. And two imperfect people cannot create a perfect relationship. So you shouldn't be surprised at that. The truth is you're never going to meet anybody who can meet all of your needs. But when you expect other people to meet needs that are unrealistic, there's a little warning sign that something's going on there. It's called anger. Anger is a warning light. When I get upset with you, it means I expected you to meet a need in my life that you didn't meet. So I get angry. And instead of looking to other people, God says, I want you to look to me. He says, you do not have because you do not ask. You're looking to the wrong people to meet your needs. God says, look to me. You have not because you ask not. Now, the truth is, until you accept God's rule over your life, until you accept that God is God and you're not, and he has a right to tell you what to do, the Bible says you're at war with God. You may have not realized it, but you are. You're at war with God until you make peace with God. And the war with God goes like this. God, I want to do what I want to do. I want to be what I want to be. I don't want anybody telling me what's right and telling me what's wrong. I know what's best for me, and I know what will make me happy, and God, you don't. That's called war with God. The next verse says this, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. And so really, all of the problems that are out there in the world start on the inside of us. It's because there's chaos in our own hearts, there's chaos in the world. It's because there's conflict in our own hearts between good and evil, right and wrong, who's going to be God, me or God. Because there's conflict in our hearts, there's conflict in relationships. Because there's division in my heart, there's going to be division in the world. And God says, okay, so you got to start on the inside before you can work on the outside. And until people's hearts are changed, we're never going to have peace on earth. So the cause of conflict is selfishness and sinfulness. The cure for conflict, if you want to write this down, it's reconciliation. Reconciliation. As I said, reconciliation is just a big word that means making peace. It's taking former enemies and turning them into friends. Now, how do you do that? Well, there are 7 important steps. Notice I didn't say easy steps because they are not easy. This may be a very tough message for you to hear today. Reconciliation, restoring a relationship, is never easy. And why do it? I mean, why not just Okay, the broken relationships I've got, just let them go on and don't even worry about trying to reconcile with my mom or my dad or my sister or my brother. Don't even worry about it. Why do that? Well, let me give you a statement. It's up here on the screen. It is always more rewarding to restore a relationship than it is to resent it the rest of your life. It is always more rewarding to restore a relationship. That doesn't mean, oh, now you're getting back together with somebody you divorced 10 years ago. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying restoring the relationship than to resent it the rest of your life. Because if you don't have reconciliation, every time you think of that relationship, it's going to poke you with pain the rest of your life. And that's dumb. And you can go through life having people who poke you with pain every time you just think about them. It's stuff that happened 10, 20 longer years ago. And every time you think about them, it pokes you with pain. You got to learn how to let it go so you can get on with your life. And they let it go through the steps of reconciliation. Now, there are 7 skills you're going to have to learn. Unfortunately, nobody teaches us this growing up. Nobody teaches us how to restore relationships. But God's word is real clear about it. Here's the first step. Number one, make peace with God. Make peace with God. You need to end your war with God over who's going to be in charge of your life. You need to surrender to Him before you're able to do any relationship restoring with other people. You make your peace with God. And the only way you're going to make peace with God is surrender. Because this is a war you're not going to win. Your arms are too short to box with God. So if you try to fight with God, say, who's going to be God in my life, me or God? You're going to lose. It's going to cause all kinds of problems in your life because you weren't made to live without God. You were made to live with Him as the manager, as the controller, as the CEO, as the president, as the chairman of the board of your life. You were made to be in contact with Him. And all that other stress in your life comes because of the war with God, where you keep going, God, I'm going to do what I want to do, instead of what you want me to do. Now, you end the war by making peace, by surrendering to Him. And that's a hard thing to do because it pokes our pride. And this is especially tough for guys, for males. Now, women, they don't have any ego, right? Isn't that right? Women don't have ego problems. Only guys have pride problems. But for us, we say, surrender, I don't want to surrender to anybody. Now, how do you make peace with God? Well, the Bible says this up here on the screen. Colossians 1, 20, 21 and 22. At one time, you were far away from God and were His enemies because of the evil things you did and you thought. But now, by means of the death of His Son, that's Jesus, God has made you His friends, in order to bring you holy, pure, and faultless into His presence. He's talking about taking you into heaven. Now, the Bible says there that whatever Jesus Christ did on the cross allows God to take me to heaven, which is a perfect place, and I'm not. But He says, whatever it does, transform me into holy, perfect, or pure, and faultless. Now, friends, I'm anything but holy, pure, and faultless. You're anything but holy, pure, and faultless. We all got a lot of messes in our lives. So how does that happen that we're able to make peace with God when God's perfect and we're not? And if He let imperfect people into heaven, it wouldn't be perfect anymore. Well, God does a thing called justification. He justifies us. What does that mean? Well, look at this verse up here on the screen. Since we have been justified through faith, notice it's through faith, not by going to church, not by keeping the Ten Commandments, not by doing all kinds of rules and regulations. We have been justified through faith. We have peace with God. That's reconciliation through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be justified? Well, that's a long theological term that means God makes me just as if I'd never sinned. That's what it means to be justified. Justified means God takes me, an imperfect, broken, flawed individual, and He makes me just as if I'd never sinned. That's good news. And justified means God takes somebody who's blown it and makes them perfect again, just as if I'd never sinned. And how do we get that? It says through faith. Not by doing good, not by trying to be nice, not by being perfect, but just by faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us. Look at this next verse. How do I make peace with God? Well, there's only one way, by faith. Everyone who believes in Jesus is freed from all guilt. That's good news. And declared right with God, just as if I'd never sinned. Something the law of Moses could never do. What's the law of Moses? Ten Commandments. He says, keeping the Ten Commandments can't get you into heaven. Why? Well, in the first place, you couldn't even name all ten of them. Okay? So how are you keeping them if you can't even name them? All right? In the second place, you start breaking them a long time ago, and the Bible says, if you've done it in your heart, it's just like you've done it. So you've broken all the Ten Commandments. But the bottom line is this. You couldn't keep them perfect. Nobody bats a thousand. He says it's only by faith. The good news is this. In making peace with God, everything you need to make peace with God has already been done for you. It was done for you by Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 talks about Jesus going to the cross. It says, he was wounded for our rebellions. In other words, when he's hanging on the cross and crushed because of our guilt, he took the punishment. The punishment fell on him, reconciling, there's that word, reconciling us to God. And we have been healed by his bruises. Everything you need to do to make peace with God has already been done for you. All you need to do is surrender and accept it by faith. That's it. Okay, God, you're it. I trust you, I trust your son, and I'm going to follow you. So what is my response to the fact that God took the initiative? I was at war with God, and God says, I don't want my children to be at war with me, so I'm going to send Jesus to earth, and I'm going to die on the cross, and I'm going to pay for all your sins so you can be just as if you'd never sinned, and we'll restore that friendship with God. And your response is simply to accept it gratefully and celebrate. Look at this verse, Romans 5:11. So now we rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, making us friends of God. You know, sometimes we sing that song, I am a friend of God. Why? Because God made it possible. Why? He took the first step, reconciliation. Now, I spent a lot of time on this point because until you get this one, you can't do the other 6 points. Until you've made peace with God, you can't have peace with other people. Now, here's the second step. If you want to restore a broken relationship, first, make peace with God yourself. Second, you ask God for help. You ask God for help in the relationship, with the broken relationship. You pray about it. Now, you always talk to God before you talk to the person you got the conflict with. You talk to them first. Now, that's usually the last thing we do. What we do is we talk to everybody else. And we try to get everybody on our side about how much that person hurt you and how wrong they are and everything like that. God says, no, that's gossip. You don't talk to other people about the person. You talk to me about the person. And then after you talk to me about the person, then you go talk to them. Now, this is so important. I can't tell you how many times conflict that I've had with Kay in my marriage that just evaporated when I prayed about it. And I'll start praying. I'll say, you know, God, what do you want me to do? And I just find that it resolves itself. I don't even have to go to my wife. It just resolves itself because I pray and I say, Lord, you know, I got this problem. And God says, well, she's right, you dodo. And then it's all resolved. I mean, it's you know, there are two kinds of reactions to conflict. You're either a skunk or you're a turtle. Now, skunks, when they face conflict, they just stink up the place. They just let her rip. They just spew all over. And everybody knows when a skunk's upset. They just kind of go, psh. On the other hand, turtles, when they face conflict, they pull back into a shell. And they hibernate and they run from the conflict. Now, skunks always marry turtles. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head right now and I say, confess which one you are. No, I'm not going to do that. No, the fact is, it doesn't matter whether you clam up or whether you blow up. You're both wrong. Neither of those are the appropriate way to handle conflict or anger. Blowing up, Vesuvius, or clamming up, you know, pulling back into a shell. They're both wrong. They're not the way. The way to resolve conflict are these seven skills that I'm sharing with you today. Now look at this verse, James 1:5. Let's read it aloud. If you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him and he will gladly tell you. Now I know I didn't give you much space in the outline today because there were too many verses I wanted to share. So just find a place to write this in. But there are two questions you want to ask God before you go talk to the person who has you've got a conflict with. Number one, the first question you want to ask is, how much of it is my fault? Is there any of it? Maybe just 1%, maybe a half a percent. God says, I want you to own up to, is there anything your part? Maybe not. You may say, nope, they're 100%, it's all their fault. But in some system, you want to say, how much of it is my fault? An honest checkup on my part of the problem, a frank evaluation of, am I seeing this thing correctly? And typically, it's usually, there's a blend there. Sometimes it's not, but sometimes it's there. You got to look at that. Second question is, what do you want me to do about it? And you ask God, what do you want me to do about this problem, this conflict, and my part, if I do have a part in the conflict? Now, once you've made peace with God, and once you've asked God for help, now you come to step three, which is to convene a peace conference with your mother, your mother-in-law, your father, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your ex, somebody who messed you up in a business deal. You convene a peace conference, a sit-down, face-to-face meeting. And this often will take more than one meeting. Why? Because conflict is seldom resolved accidentally. It just doesn't happen to resolve on its own. Conflict is resolved when you intentionally resolve it. You intentionally work on it.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time together. But first, how would you like to be able to take these great messages with you wherever you go? Well, Pastor Rick wants to make this happen for you. That's why he's asked us to offer you this 7-message audio series called Growing in the Seasons of Life. When you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send them to you on your choice of CD, USB flash drive, or downloadable MP3. You'll get everything you hear on the broadcast, as well as portions we just didn't have time for. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004, or just visit PastorRick.com. Once again, here's Rick.
Hey, everybody. I've got some really big news I'm going to tell you about. Our Daily Hope app has been completely redesigned, and it's available now. I want you to get this Daily Hope app. What we did is we listened to all your feedback, and we installed all the improvements that you suggested and asked for. The devotional is now easier to read. It's got a darker font. The option to increase the font size is there. We've made it easy to share this devotional with other people. You can even broadcast it right from your phone. It's really cool. To get the app on your iPhone, visit the iTunes App Store and search for Daily Hope with Rick Warren. To get the app for an Android device, visit the Google Play Store and search for Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Now, the official Daily Hope app has our yellow and blue sunburst logo. You're familiar with that. Our app is a convenient way to get your daily dose of Daily Hope. I want you to get this app today. So download the app now and get started.
Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.